If you plan to buy one item commemorating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, I highly recommend the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. It's titled The Reformation. You'll want to display this richly illustrated book on your coffee table, in your church library, or anywhere you can easily flip through this informative and beautiful book. The Reformation is written by regular guest Dr. Cameron McKenzie. Learn more about The Reformation at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040.
Some elements of the religious rite having to kind of make a, dare I say, strange bedfellows arrangement with Donald Trump in order to continue fighting the culture war.
Once we've reduced this to gospel, in quotes, then the doors are wide open to do anything else we want to in the theological realm.
It's not because of the man Luther. Luther would say, not me, Christ. Christ alone. Look to Christ.
Kids, we incarnate in Indiana.
The new Concordia commentary on Hebrews is Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Here is a tweet that came out, well, early in the summer from Mark Driscoll. This is before Driscoll began his comeback to become again America's megachurch pastor. He had been pastor of Mars Hill, former megachurch pastor, through various problems, internal and external, with the congregation. Had a falling out and a fall of sorts, but attempted another comeback, and I think this is maybe his third attempt at a comeback. He tweeted this out, sounds at the surface of it, to be just intended to help moms who feel guilty about not being the best moms. Dear imperfect mom, you're doing a great job. Don't beat yourself up. Jesus didn't have a perfect mom, and he turned out okay. That's what he tweeted. Now, is that a tweet that, if you stop and think about it, will give comfort to mothers laden with maternal guilt? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 10th of October. We're going to be talking about that tweet and the new Star Wars trailer with Pastor Hans Feeney of The Federalist here in the first half hour of this hour. And then Pastor Peter Burfein joins us to talk about ways to show appreciation for your pastor, since it is Pastor Appreciation Month. Feel free to join us with questions or comments or call in number 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc or the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about Mark Driscoll's tweet to guilty moms and the new Star Wars trailer, Pastor Hans Feeney, pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column titled A Pros and Cons Breakdown of the New Star Wars Trailer and What Mark Driscoll Should Have Tweeted About St. Mary to Comfort Guilty Moms. Hans, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, given what he tweeted, I think he intended to comfort guilty moms, but given what he did tweet about guilty moms and the Virgin Mary, could it have had the opposite effect with the average mom reading that?
Yeah, I certainly think so. I mean, one of the things about guilt is that it needs an answer and in order to go away. And don't worry about it is not an answer that typically gets rid of our guilt. We usually need something more substantial than that. So I think that's kind of what Mark Driscoll was trying to get across, is this is perhaps speaking to mothers who have false guilt. You know, the idea that they feel like they've messed up where they really haven't, and that they're going to severely harm the development of their children when that's not really the case. So it's almost like he's saying, "Yeah, don't worry about it. It's no big deal." But again, guilt is assessing our own guilt. It's a qualitative judgment. It's a subjective judgment, and it's based on usually what people are feeling, that which may or may not correspond to how the rest of the world views that sin. So telling them, hey, look, don't worry about it, it's no big deal, doesn't really answer that question of, well, do I need to repent or not? Do I need forgiveness or not? And if I do, where do I get forgiveness? And likewise, it just doesn't work in the sense that, even if people don't hold to the sinlessness of Mary, the Immaculate Conception of Mary, which is basically everyone in the Protestant world, the reality is everyone knows, well, okay, yeah, perhaps Mary wasn't perfect, but I'm sure she was a better mother than I am. And likewise, everyone knows, and yeah, my kids might be doing well, and they might be resilient and whatnot, but my kids certainly are not Jesus, and they're not going to be as immune to temptation and things of that nature as he was.
So if one simply took it at face value, based upon what he says, and applying a little theological acumen to it, what are some of the difficulties you see in Mark Driscoll's attempt to comfort guilty moms by saying, hey, nobody's perfect, not even the Virgin Mary, and Jesus turned out okay, your kids will too?
Well, one of the problems with this is that, you know, there's an overarching biblical principle, and we're taught this very clearly from specific passages in the Bible, but that says everyone who's born of the natural union of man and woman is sinful. This is obviously why the virgin birth of Christ is distinct and why it's important and necessary. So the Bible teaches everyone is in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. So we have every reason to believe that Mary is included in that group. But there are a few folks in Scripture that the only evidence the Bible gives that they are sinners is in just that broad condemnation of all of humanity. And it's sort of a cheap shot, and I'm not quite sure this is what Mark Driscoll was intending, but it sort of came across this way. It's sort of a cheap shot to assume that because Mary is a sinner like all of us, that she therefore did things wrong as a mother or sinned against her son in her vocation as a mother. I think it's sort of an unfair, contrary to the Eighth Commandment sort of step to jump from the broad principle of everyone's a sinner to that principle there. It would be sort of like if I said, well, everyone's filled with hatred, therefore we all know that Todd Wilkin is a racist. And you'd sort of go, well, hold on, you're jumping from the general to the specific without any actual evidence there. So certainly that, I think, is a cheap move. And it's also, I think, just not the most respectful and reverent way also to speak of Christ, and this is a main point in the article, that what caused Christ to turn out well, what caused him to turn out sufficient and capable of carrying out the work that his Father gave him to do, was not the fact that it's not so much that he was dependent on the loving, tender care of Mary, although that was certainly an important thing. But what ultimately was necessary for Christ to turn out well and to carry out the will of his Father was the fact that Christ was born free of original sin, free of corruption, and was and is in fact God in the flesh, so that his perfect human nature and his divine nature there working together to accomplish what his Father set out for him to do.
So talk about how this tweet fails to deliver what it intends to deliver, that it actually is of no comfort to moms, regardless of how you want to read it or how you want to understand what Driscoll may have meant to say.
Well, I think it would be, there's probably some analogy you could give of something else. You know, so for example, if you were talking to a guy who says, you know, he's turning 40, and he tells you he's feeling down because he doesn't feel like he's accomplished anything in life. And you try to comfort him by saying, well, like, that's okay, you know, the film director Orson Welles didn't always have a career free of failures. And you'd say, yeah, but he made Citizen Kane when he was 25 years old, so that doesn't, like, that only makes me feel worse. So the idea that you're gonna start off by asking mothers who are filled with guilt to compare themselves to the Virgin Mary is probably not a great strategy. And then, of course, on top of that, you have the issue of, well, what do they really need? And if they're filled with guilt, what they need is they need the promise of forgiveness and mercy. They need to know that their salvation is not dependent upon how well they've executed the office of mother, but their salvation is dependent on the mercy of Christ. And they also need to know, in the same way for their children, that Christ's worthiness to die for the sins of the world is not dependent on his own mother's perfection, nor is it dependent on their perfection as mothers either, so that he can and is and remains the Savior of their children, despite their faults and their failings, so that even when their sins are forgiven, the effects of their sins are not so great that they can undo the work of the Messiah.
I noticed something in Driscoll's tweet that I've noticed more generally in evangelicalism. Sadly, I've noticed it kind of get a little traction even among our fellow Lutheran pastors. And that is to mistake a statement like, hey, we're all sinners, we're kind of all in the same boat, or hey, nobody's perfect, for the gospel.
Right.
Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, I think that's a huge distinction between Christianity and every other religious system in the world. Every other religion in the world is essentially a religion of works. And in a religion of works, the goal is always to make sin manageable. So if you can create a system where sins are not as big, where they are easily discarded and made up for, so it's a system of basically debits and credits. And so what you're essentially trying to do is you minimize the sin. This is the trick of legalism, is that you look out at the world and you say, okay, what are the worst sins? And you say, well, it's the sins I don't commit. And then the sins I do commit are not nearly as big. So you try and create a system where basically the accounting of sin and good works is where it works in your favor. And as Christians, that's definitely something we want to avoid. When we look at sin, we never want our reaction to sin to be, well, it's not that big a deal, and don't beat yourself up over it, because every sin is a big deal. Every sin, even if it doesn't have as socially destructive of a character. So obviously, in the eyes of the law, there, you know, you throw people in jail for some transgressions and you don't for others, because you recognize, well, we can't execute everyone. Society would end very quickly if we did that. But some things are more detrimental to society than others. But with God, this is not the way that things work. Wherever there is any sin, wherever there's any iniquity, wherever there's any stain on our flesh and on our souls, that stain prevents us from having fellowship with God and prevents us from being worthy of eternal life and worthy of its presence. And so whenever we are guilty of sin, what we always need is the blood of Christ to make us clean. And we never want to put ourselves in a position where we say, well, that sin is not big enough for you to need to bother asking for forgiveness.
One quick question before we go to the break. I know that you may not be one of the cultural elite who now has 280 characters for your Twitter account.
No.
I know you're on the endless quest, as I am, just for the blue verification check. Twitter's pretty stingy with those. But in less than 140 characters, can you tell us what Mark Driscoll might have tweeted that really could have comforted guilty mothers?
Yes, I managed to figure it out, and I think I got it down to 136 characters, which gives you four to spare, which is, dear imperfect mom, Christ didn't need Mary to be a perfect mother to save her. He doesn't need you to be perfect to save your children.
Very good. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. When we come back, we're going to turn from Mark Driscoll's tweet to the new Star Wars trailer, which oddly may offer more comfort to guilty mothers, although it has nothing to do with that. We'll talk about the pros and the cons as we walk through that trailer. Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's also creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire.
What do Martin Luther's 95 Theses say and mean? What's the story behind Luther's famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress? How and why are Lutherans celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation this month? Find answers to these questions and more in the October issue of The Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness to get 6 issues of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine for only $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc. Did you know that you can listen to our 24/7 talk and music stations using Amazon Echo? All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Lutheran Public Radio.
Lutheran Public Radio.
Or, Alexa, play Lutheran Talk Radio.
Lutheran Talk Radio.
Own thing, you know, there's this recognition that unrighteous mammon...
Lutheran music, Lutheran talk, anytime, day or night, on Amazon Echo.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
When I found you, I saw raw, untamed power. And beyond that, something truly special.
Something inside me has always been there. But now it's awake. And I need help.
I've seen this raw strength only once before. It didn't scare me enough then. It does now.
Let the past die.
That is the second trailer for Star Wars, The Last Jedi. I watched it several times this morning, and I couldn't discern much of a plot. I never can from a well-made trailer. I hope that they did it so they didn't give too much away. But where does it fit within the story that Star Wars is, well, in my opinion, telling and retelling and retelling again? Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. And we're going to be looking at the pros and cons of that new Star Wars trailer. He's also going to be one of the speakers at the 2018 Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference here in Collinsville, Illinois. But it's too early to register for next year's conference where he'll appear. You can register for next month's conference, the Making the Case conference in Houston, Texas. Speakers include Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Dr. Scott Murray, Mark and Molly Hemingway, and Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris. Registration for the conference is $120. That includes meals on Friday night and Saturday afternoon and evening. It's the premier conference for Christian laity, the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Hans, first of all, I thought the last iteration of Star Wars that came out was kind of just a remake of the very first one I ever saw back in 1979, I believe, as a very eager, budding Star Wars fan. Did I get it wrong?
No, I think that's pretty accurate. I think that this was my reaction to it. So I saw it on the day it came out. I took my older two boys to go see it. And I was so overwhelmed with joy that it wasn't just embarrassingly bad like the prequels that I thought it was great or pretty good. And then I never wanted to watch it again after that. I've really not even thought about the movie much beyond just a couple times I've watched it with my kids. And then the one time I brought a TV over to one of my shut-ins, and we watched it over at her house because she's a big Star Wars fan too. So that was fun. But beyond that, I have never thought about it since then. And yeah, it was very much just a kind of rehash. It was a very safe, remake pretty much followed kind of the plot points of the original Star Wars film, where Rey is sort of the new Luke character. You know, a few kind of minor changes here and there, but the story arc is very much the same, even to the extent of, oh, we've got another Death Star, and we've got the loss of a father figure, and kind of all of that type of stuff. So, which, as I said, made it quite safe, but it was not terribly interesting.
Now, I understand why they'd want to do that, because they are essentially trying to erase our memories of the prequels, and they're trying to reboot this for an entirely new generation, like your kids, who didn't see or who have not yet seen the originals there. But with the coming of the next iteration, The Last Jedi, the story there continues. What can you tell from this second of the trailers that has come out that actually appears to have a few characters in it this time?
Yeah, you get a sense of the tone of the movie rather than the plot. I mean, you can kind of pick out a few details here and there, but it certainly seems to be following that kind of mid-chapter structure that both the original trilogy and then the prequel trilogy had as well, which is the second chapter really kind of deals mostly with sort of the inner struggle of the hero between the light side of the Force and the dark side of the Force. So that seems to be kind of the indication that you get from the trailer as to what the film's going to be. It seems that they're doing this kind of in both ways with the Rey character as well as Kylo Ren, that they're basically following the same story arc, but in reverse of each other. So that there's almost kind of a commonality, I suppose, in the mid chapter where they're both struggling with this. Question of do I belong to the light or to the dark?
So one of the big things that people who watch the Star Wars films are always looking for is, you could either call it the big reveal or the big surprise about who someone is or who someone appears to be. The big question mark on this one, of course, is who's that gigantic holographic figure that Kylo Ren was showing obeisance to? You expect any kind of revelation on that based upon what you saw in the trailer?
I would think so. Yeah, I'd imagine that that was a pretty big tease in the first film, and so I'd imagine that will be a lot of that ought to be unveiled in this one as well. In addition to, I believe they've already said we'll get an answer to the question of who Rey's parents are. That was sort of the question raised in the first film. There are kind of some hints at that. And obviously, famously, in The Empire Strikes Back, that was the second film in the original trilogy. That was when the revelation was given that Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father. So I'd imagine that very well could, kind of fitting that template, very well could show up.
You say it's a pro that it's the same story, because this is kind of classic plot line, but it's also a con that it's the same story. What do you mean?
Yeah, so it's a pro in the sense that there is a structure that you're following, and so it's like writing a song, or you know, or even just in general writing fiction and plays and movies, where there's this typical 3 or 5 act structure, and in particular, Star Wars kind of has this mythology of the hero going on this sort of 3-part journey, and so you'd expect, and so you don't, when you if you have someone coming along to make a new Star Wars trilogy, you kind of, there's a, I think just sort of an instinctive understanding that this is the way the story is supposed to be structured. And so that's good. You want that to kind of be maintained, and you don't want people to sort of mess with the mythology that you have encapsulated in there. The downside of it, though, is just that, well, if you're just basically remaking the original trilogy and you're just kind of slightly subbing out, you know, characters here and there, and you're just finding and replacing, you know, the names, and everyone sort of corresponds with someone in a previous trilogy, you just kind of go, well, who cares at this point? I mean, just what's the point now?
I want your thoughts before we go on to another pro and con on the villain character that's emerged in these two films here of Kylo Ren. He seems more subtle, more complex as a character, and certainly more likable than Hayden Christensen was as Anakin Skywalker. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, well, I feel bad for Hayden Christensen because he had to work with the dialogue that he was given, and that I'd imagine is a tough order as an actor to make that work. And I think with Adam Driver playing Kylo Ren, I think he's certainly a great actor. He does sort of have that emo, pouty teenager look, which I know doesn't work for some people. I don't think that bothers me as much as it bothers other people. And I think the idea that he's not as sort of physically menacing of a character as Darth Vader was is probably part of the approach and is a way in which I think they gave themselves a little room to work with, where you're able to humanize this guy a little bit more. We obviously know that he's the son of Han Solo and Princess Leia. So there's kind of that aspect of things, and that certainly seems to be the way that they're taking the character. I'm hoping it could go in an interesting direction, and you know, where it certainly seems like at least where you want the story to go is his redemption. So you know, he kills his father in the first film, appears to be contemplating the same for his mother in this installment, and so you certainly hope that his story arc will end in his. And his returning home to being one of the good guys, and perhaps then that lets this Snoke character take over as the chief antagonist of the film.
With about a minute here, your final thoughts on Ewoks 3.0 and whether or not there'll be yet another Death Star?
So I don't really think there will be another Death Star. I really hope there won't be another Death Star. I'm confident that we've moved on from that, but you never know. That being said, so the Ewoks came around in Return of the Jedi. It was basically a cheap merchandising ploy of George Lucas to sell toys to children. He did the same thing with Jar Jar Binks in the prequels that received much more of a hostile reaction from the audience. So there's just a little split-second clip in the trailer for this character of the species, apparently that has a name. They're called Porgs or something like that. And it looks, I describe it as looking like an owl sneaking into a baby seal convention. It just looks like an owl has put on a baby seal skin. And it's apparently cute. And I can tell you right away that my kids are going to adore this thing and you're going to want me to buy all of the toy variations of it. And I can also tell you that I already hate this thing about as much as I hate Jar Jar Binks.
That's saying something, too. Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, senior contributor to The Federalist, and author of a recent column titled A Pro and Con Breakdown of the New Star Wars Trailer and What Mark Driscoll Should Have Tweeted About St. Mary to Comfort Guilty Moms. You can read them both at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Hans, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we're going to turn to the subject of pastor appreciation. It's a month in American Christianity. The Sunday was last Sunday. And some ways to show appreciation to your pastor all year round with Pastor Peter Burfeind.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
We don't know anything about this formerly blind and mute man.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
What we do know is what Jesus did for him, and what Jesus did for that man, he is doing now for you.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Ever attended an Issues Etc. conference or any number of events that take place across the Synod and wondered why more people from your congregation aren't there? Then check out the special seminar package the CLCC is offering for the 500th anniversary. All you need so your circuit can prepare, promote, and present a seminar that will appeal to all the members of your congregation, provided for free by the CLCC. Just go to theclcc.org, theclcc.org, and click on the blue box, or check us out on Facebook.
Real Reformation Radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30, Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.